Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Welcome back. Junkies coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 here in the DMV in Richmond. Appreciate you listening to us on 910 The Fan or 105.1 FM. We are streaming live all across the country on the Odyssey app. You can watch us on the Monumental Sports Network, presented, as always, by our friends at Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. Excited to be joined now on the BetQL guest hotline by Ian O'Connor. He's written 4 bestsellers, or New York Times bestsellers, and his latest book comes out tomorrow, Out of the Darkness, The Mystery of Aaron Rodgers. Good morning, Ian.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
No, thanks for joining us again. I remember when you joined us the last time, I think, was for your Coach K book.
Yeah.
And I remember what jumped out at me is that you said you had interviewed like over 500 people. I might be wrong on the number now. It's been been a little while. But tell us about the research you did for this one.
Well, Aaron Rodgers said on the Boomer and Geo show here in New York that I reached out to 500 people and 250 called me back. Mm-hmm. So that's about right. That's in the ballpark for this one. And I wanted to make sure this book got out while he was still playing and active. And so this is a huge season, obviously, for the New York Jets to finally get back to the playoffs for the first time since 2010. And they haven't been to a Super Bowl since Neil Armstrong stepped on the moon. So It would be nice for this to actually work out for once for that fatalistic fan base. But yeah, so it was I actually handed in the manuscript in January, and Aaron had not talked to me. I had reached out through the Jets, through his agent, directly to him. I sent him some of my old books, Coach K, Belichick, and nothing. I got no response. And then one day in February, I got a message from the Jets that said, Aaron is willing to see you.
Wow.
Now. So I flew out to Malibu and sat in his backyard on the Pacific Ocean, and we had a nice 2-hour chat.
Wow.
How nice is the house?
I haven't seen it.
Yeah. I'm sure.
Yeah, that's. I was standing there thinking, wow, this is how they live, right? People like this. And really, his backyard is the Pacific Ocean. He's on a bluff right above the ocean.
Right.
And so it was the nicest setting I've ever had for an interview, that's for sure. And he also told me, because reports were, I don't know if you remember, but back in 2019, that he bought the house with Danica Patrick for $28 million. And without mentioning her name, he said to me, I didn't buy this house with anybody.
Oh.
So he made it clear he spent the $28 million and it wasn't split. So yeah, it was, he was very candid and thoughtful. I've always thought from the distance that he was maybe the best interview in the NFL, even if you didn't agree with a lot of what he was saying. And I was surprised that he was willing to engage on sensitive subjects like his family estrangement, the mistake he made with COVID, and he definitely made it a better book.
So let's start with the family estrangement, because we've always, for lack of a better word, found it kind of weird that the guy didn't talk to his parents. I know you apparently brought the parents to his first game with the Jets. Tell us how that all came about.
Sure. And he doesn't talk to his brothers either. Mm. And he doesn't talk to a couple of aunts. He doesn't talk to his grandmother. I mean, so it's a wide circle of estranged people that used to be in his life, family members. And so the parents, I took them to the 9/11 game. Obviously, he got hurt, four snaps in. And he knew they were going to be there because they contacted the Jets asking for tickets. The Jets talked to Aaron. He was fine with it. So they purchased their tickets through the team, and they needed a ride to the game. So I offered. So I thought it made for an interesting scene in the book to bring them there. They were wearing Jets gear, and they sat in the crowd among Jets fans who had absolutely no idea who they were. Hmm. And so the injury happens right in front of them. Of course, they're heartbroken. It's their flesh and blood, even if they haven't talked to him at that point in 9 years. But the Jets won that game in dramatic fashion. And they said late in the game, they became Jets fans. They put the injury aside for a moment and got caught up. And to me, I've been covering sports in New York for 37 years, and that is the most energized and electric regular season crowd I've ever experienced. Mm. And it was just such a heartbreaking thing to have that ripped away four snaps in. But this is a mulligan this year. And I'll tell you that the ride home that night I wanted to mention was I gave them the keys to my car, and I said, I'm going to go to Aaron's press conference and Robert Saleh's press conference, and then I'll meet you back at the car. I put the radio station, ESPN in New York, on so they can hear the press conferences in my car while waiting for me. As it turned out, Aaron didn't have a press conference. We didn't know that would obviously play out the way it did. He was driven home during the game by a friend. And his season was over, and it was very somber. I drove them back to Montclair, New Jersey, where they were staying, and I didn't talk. I became like an Uber driver because they were sitting in their silence. And then we talked a little bit, but that was a very tough night.
What's the major reason that he doesn't talk to his parents?
Or brothers.
Yeah, or the brother, or Jordan, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there are like 15 reasons. And, okay. And so when I started the project, I thought I would find that one. There isn't one development or issue. It's a whole bunch of things. Religion was a part of it early on because his mother is devoutly religious and Aaron is not. Mm-hmm. And he really rebelled against that religious upbringing. And that planted the seed for other rebellions. Mm. And he really thought the parents blame Olivia Munn, which is just too, it's missing the larger point. Aaron hasn't dated Olivia in 7 years and the estrangement continues. So she can't be solely to blame, but she did agree and confirm his thoughts that his family was living too much off of his fame and success and not appreciating also his generosity. He was very generous with his family members. And they don't see it that way. Ed and Darla, very nice people I got a chance to get to know. But Aaron sees it that way, and that really is what's most important here. Beyond that, he had issues with his brothers doing things. They had issues with him, missing family events. And it really, from the outside looking in, a lot of that seems petty and fairly minor and doesn't add up to a 10-year estrangement. But I think Aaron does I've said this before, it's like a living organism now, and he doesn't know how to kill it. He doesn't know how to confront it. And so it's easier to just let it linger and fester, and that's what's happened.
Talking to Ian O'Connor's got a book comes out tomorrow where all books are sold, Out of the Darkness, The Mystery of Aaron Rodgers. So something else that's somewhat mysterious to me is how he spends his off seasons, right? And you heard about the ayahuasca. We hear about Egypt. But, like, this year, it wasn't coach-approved. What's going on there?
Yeah, well, ayahuasca, he thinks has improved his life, and I've never tried it. Mm-hmm. His good friend Jordan Russell in 2019 went to Peru and sat for some ceremonies, came back and said to Aaron, hey, you got to do this. So he takes Danica Patrick with him to Peru, and he just says, it's like when you drink this psychedelic, this plant-based psychedelic, and he hates when people call it a drug. He said it's a spiritual cleansing. He felt just better as a man, as a person, as a football player. It's like a lucid dream with embedded messages about yourself and your loved ones. What I don't understand is why the ayahuasca didn't help him improve his relationship with his family. But as far as Egypt is concerned, he did have that planned. It was something he always wanted to do. But he deserves to take a hit on that because even though he had gone all the voluntary workouts for two straight summers with the Jets, he had been really perfect as a franchise player and setting an example for his teammates. All he had to do is change that by 2 or 3 days. I'm pretty sure Aaron Rodgers could afford the change fee on that. And he decided not to do it. So when you do that, I actually think he is a good leader, maybe a very good leader, but he's an imperfect leader, and he proved it there because that put Robert Saleh in a very difficult position to try to explain it, and he failed when he tried to explain it.
Do you think that based on talking to him and I guess some of the other family members, do you think that eventually he's going to come around and improve those relationships that he's got with his family, or is this the way it's going to be the rest of his life?
I do, because I had a scene in the book where last summer at Lake Tahoe, the celebrity golf tournament Aaron plays in every year, he saw his father in the crowd. Ed Rogers put himself there for a reason. He wanted to be seen by his son and hope for an encounter. And Aaron's walking down the ninth hole on Saturday thinking to himself, should I go over there? Should I act like I didn't see him? Is this the day where I finally say hello to my dad for the first time in 9 years? And he did. Something inside compelled him to do that. Ed had lost sight of him for a second, and he turns around, and there's Aaron standing 15 feet away looking at him. And Ed told me he kind of froze because he had just forgot what that felt like to be in his son's presence and have him looking right at him. It just it froze him. So Aaron walks over, gives him a hug. They each said, I love you. It was emotional. Ed was crying. Aaron went back to playing his golf round, and there was no real follow-up. But that moment, they both told me on the record for the book, meant a lot to both of them. And Aaron said for the first time he wants to have a relationship with one of his family members, his father, who he has described in the past as his hero, his idol, the man that he wanted to be. So I think that will happen in the coming months. That's my hope and my belief. And then after that, I think the rest of the family might fall into place.
Talking to Ian O'Connor's new books, Out of the Darkness, The Mystery of Aaron Rodgers, comes out tomorrow where books are sold. So a lot of the book tackles his personality. How much of this dates back to, you know, coming out of high school, not getting any D1 offers, always kind of having a chip?
Oh, 100%. That's everything. I mean, they were trying to get college recruiters at Division I schools that they just don't go north of Sacramento. And he lives north of Sacramento. And so he was a great player in high school. He went to the University of Illinois summer camp, and they had a lot of Division I prospects there and kids who got full scholarships. And Aaron was clearly the best quarterback there, and still nobody recruited him. So he had that as a chip on his shoulder. His entire recruiting experience was the local community college coach who lived about five houses away, walking to his house, knocking on the door, and convincing his mother that a kid who got 1310 on his SAT should go to community college. And that it worked out. He gave him a platform, Craig Rigsby did, for Division I schools. And to see him, Cal saw him, signed him, and the rest is history. But, of course, as you know, Aaron thought he was going to be the first pick in the draft and play for his hometown team. He grew up wanting to be Joe Montana and Steve Young, and that was denied, too. He plunges to 24. That was really the end. That was in 2005. That was the first NFL draft reality show, the humiliation of Aaron Rodgers. And he still carries that with him. He's 40 years old, and he'll never forget what he felt that day and what he felt coming out of high school. And that's really why the way he is.
Do you get a sense that he could play beyond this year with the Jets?
Yeah, I think he'll... His plan is to give the Jets at least two good years. So last year didn't count. This year is a do-over on last year. He wants to play two good years for the Jets, try to win a championship. And they have a good roster. If they stay healthy, they should be a playoff team, an 11-6 type of team. But, of course, Aaron got hurt four snaps in, and the Jets fans I know are very cautious about buying in again. They just they got so burned last year because they were all in. And it's just the Jets being the Jets, and a lot of that stuff was being said. And so they look like a playoff team that maybe should win the AFC East, but we'll see how it plays out.
One of the things that we thought was kind of funny, and it's kind of apropos to the name of your book, but when he did the darkness retreat in Oregon, and just kind of reading up on it, it was kind of strange that, you know, someone's just going to go into a cave for a few days, and we had no idea what that entailed. But did he do that? Did he actually go into a cave and never come out for a weekend or a long weekend? Or how did that work? Did he talk about it?
Yeah, he did. And he was there in Oregon in the wilderness for 4 days.
Just by himself?
Yeah, in complete darkness. Now, you could walk outside. You could light a candle. If you got a little lonely, too lonely, whatever, you could flip a light on, but the idea was not to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And he sat in darkness, really, for 4 days. And he did say after 2 days, he was like, okay, when's this
right.
going to end? I think he had enough after a couple of days. He fought through it. And no, he said when he came out, he had a peace of mind about his decision to keep playing and not to play anymore for the Green Bay Packers. And I think it was the right call. He needed to change the dynamic of his football career. It was one bitter postseason failure after another, and something had to give. They were ready to move on to Jordan Love, and he saw a wonderful opportunity with the Jets because Tom Brady's got 7 rings. I've got one. I'm never going to tie. I'm never going to close the gap. But one way of sort of closing that gap is to win a championship in the Big Apple for a franchise that has a biblical drought. And if I do that, it'll feel like 3 or 4 rings, and it really will. If he wins a championship for the Jets, I think that'll be the biggest New York sports story of my lifetime anyway. I don't know how others would feel about that, but that would be such a huge story, and I'd like to see it happen.
Did you talk to Devontae Adams? Did you interview him before the book?
No, I didn't get a chance to. And I know he has a tremendous amount of respect for Adams, and there's still a lot of belief that Adams will get traded to the Jets.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if they – listen, everybody could use Devontae Adams, but the Jets have Mike Williams in place coming off the ACL. If he's healthy, which he's supposed to be for the opener, with Garrett Wilson and Breece Hall as a running back, they have enough weapons. And it's just the offensive line, which is much improved. If the offensive line stays healthy and Aaron stays healthy, this is definitely a playoff team. And a team that has a chance to go to the Super Bowl. But, you know, the Jets are the Jets. And it's just really hard to buy in, particularly after last year. I was 4 years old when the Jets won the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. I barely remember it. I'm going to turn 60 in 10 days. I would like to see it before I die. And I think a lot of Jets fans feel the same way.
Overall, it seems like for a guy that really gets bashed these days, you seem to have a fairly favorable opinion of him, even though you may not agree with some of his beliefs. I mean, we're not supposed to agree with everything. I think that's interesting.
He seems like a good guy.
You seem like you like him.
I'd say I like him more after the project. And I think, listen, early on, it was tough getting some of his friends and close associates to call me back. I think they assumed I had an agenda. They a media guy from New York. He's probably liberal. He's probably looking to destroy Aaron in this book.
Mm-hmm.
And that I had absolutely no agenda. That couldn't have been further from the truth. I just wanted to, like with my previous biographies, just tell an honest and fair account of a significant sporting life. And I hope I did that. And yeah, I mean, people forget he was one of the good guys in the NFL up until COVID. He supported Kaepernick and the athletes' right to protest during the anthem. He was involved in a charitable cause for victims of war in the Congo. How many athletes ever care about that? He rebuked Drew Brees and his anthem stance and did other things. He was a very socially aware guy and was being praised by the same media members who now kill him. So I don't think he's one of the bad guys. I think he's made some really bad decisions and has been reckless with his words in public at times. And those self-inflicted wounds he has to live with, particularly the COVID wound. Yeah, I've been immunized. Those 4 words, that was a big mistake. And at the very least, he admitted to me that that was a mistake, which is not something Aaron Rodgers has really ever said about anything else in his life.
Right.
So I did appreciate
that. He should have just said, listen, I don't want to take that thing for my own reasons and then dealt with the consequences. That's what he should have done. Yeah.
Yeah, and he had reasons. He said I was concerned about my health and I was allergic to an ingredient. And I just said, why didn't you just say that?
Yeah.
Because I was vaxxed, but I would have thought that was a fairly reasonable position.
Well, because people were villainized for not taking it. Fact of the matter.
Correct.
They were.
But wouldn't you agree that he would have gotten half the criticism he ended up getting in November of that year?
I think so. I think so. I think he did handle it wrong, but he tried to be kind of sneaky with it because he probably didn't want to deal with it, to be honest with you.
He didn't want to deal with it. Right. That's true.
Hey, real quick, getting back to when you went to his house, that just fascinates me. Was he there by himself? Did he answer the door? Did he have food for you? Did you have drinks on the patio? What was it like?
No, none of that. There was nothing.
Nothing.
I wasn't offered water or a trip to the bathroom, nothing. And listen, the guy didn't owe me a damn thing.
It was an
unauthorized biography. And so he had his assistant there, Ryan West. His chef was there, Jason Paps. He was there, too. And we walked out. We just walked out in the backyard. And, I mean, I just turned around. This is the nicest backyard I've ever seen. Pacific Ocean.
Yeah.
We sat there, and listen, the guy, he is very thoughtful, and he engaged, and he's intellectually curious. I think he really appreciated I was opening the book, Chapter 1, with his grandfather.
Right.
His grandfather was an amazing combat pilot in World War II, and I did a lot of research and documents that I found and detailed all the 44 missions that he flew in his B-24 against the Hitler war machine. And I think he really appreciated that, so that probably helped me get that meeting. Mm. But no, he was very cordial. But I was not offered lunch.
Kind of a bummer.
We appreciate the time you've given us. Best of luck with the book. It's out tomorrow. Exciting.
Well, it's actually on Amazon right now. But you guys have had tremendous success with your show, so it was an honor to be on.
Thank you, Aaron. Very nice of you. Thank you, Ian. Appreciate it.
The book's called Out of the Darkness, The Mystery of Aaron Rodgers. Awesome stuff.
Thank you, Ian.
We've got tickets to Jason Aldean, which we'll give away coming up at 9:45. But next, we'll open up EB's entertainment page here on the.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The Gel Flex Grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the Gel Flex Grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Welcome back. Chucky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan. EB hates Eric Bieniemy and he hates Ron Rivera. I don't hate him as a human.
He doesn't hate him as a man. He hated him as a coach.
Resents his run.
Yeah, I mean, he destroyed my team.
But you always liked Jay Gruden.
I love Jay.
And, you know, I guess he had a little more success.
Jay had back-to-back winning seasons. Yeah, you can mock it. He had back-to-back winning seasons.
I know,
seasons.
But Ron took him to the playoffs. Probably very record. Similar winning
There's
percentage.
There's an asterisk next to that
It's
one.
A very similar winning percentage, okay? It's not great.
Yeah, but who do you think was better? I personally think Jay was better.
Was slightly
Jay
better.
Is more competent.
Jay was slightly better.
I think Jay's more competent than
as a coach, yeah.
100%. Ron just stands there.
Well, the problem with Ron was Ron also had control of personnel and drafting, and that part sucked.
Right.
And that really sucked.
Right.
But when I saw Ron out in Pebble Beach.
I know, he's butt nice.
Nice guy in the world. And I asked him, I said, are you living out here? Because he's from Monterey and he's got a house out there. I said, are you living out here full time? He goes, no, I haven't sold my house back in Virginia because I'm bouncing back and forth doing something for the NFL Network. And I don't know if he's going to be a weekly guest.
Sounds like he's going to be every Wednesday.
Okay, he's going to do something every Wednesday for the NFL Network. And so I guess he's – now that's in – Is the NFL Network based in New York or L.A.?
They moved to L.A.
All right. So, but he said he was doing something back here. I don't know what it was, but that's why he hadn't sold his house yet.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess, he's trying to get into the TV stuff.
Well, no one's going to hire him to coach.
You're not going to watch it.
Yeah, Gruden had a .418 winning percentage and Ron .396. Both with one.
I would say.
Both with one playoff appearance.
Jay's better.
Yeah.
Slightly. Slightly, but anyway, I just thought it was interesting that Ron gets there and be happy and talk about Jaden Daniels in a Washington uniform when he could have addressed the quarterback his first year. And I understand Chase Young, people like the pick, but I still see Tua playing. I definitely see Justin Herbert playing. Peyton Manning came out with his top five quarterbacks list. A lot of people were surprised, so... obviously I had Patrick Mahomes number one. He ranked his top five. And I don't know if I have the order, but he had Justin Herbert in his top five.
Where was Tua? Top 10?
He just did the top five. Tua wasn't in there. Okay. All right, let's open up the entertainment page, driven by BMW Fairfax.
That's right. May not be the most interesting man in the world, but my guy Mike Walker over at BMW Fairfax, he's the guy. He has no interest in charging you interest. 2.99% on most X-Series models for a limited time only. Find out more at BMWFairfax.com. They got used, new vehicles, all that good stuff. You need service, whatever it is, mention me. They will absolutely take care of you. All right, sad news. I wasn't necessarily a fan of this dude's politics, but I did watch this guy a lot when I was growing up, JP. Phil Donahue's passed away, age of 88.
Lived a nice life.
We're really showing our age here, but... When we were kids or whatever, his talk show was on like in the middle of the day, I feel like, right?
Yeah.
Come home, maybe 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, whatever.
Yeah,
kind of before Oprah.
Exactly. He was kind of Oprah before Oprah.
Yeah, he was Oprah before Oprah. Very likable on TV.
Did you see where he lived?
I think
he lived in Augusta.
Did he?
I think.
Was he a member at Augusta?
Don't know
was
that.
Was he a golfer?
I don't know that, but I think he lived in Augusta, Georgia.
But 88 years
was
old.
His wife,
they said he had a long illness.
Marlo Thomas, was she like Miss America or something?
Maybe. I know she was an actress.
She was definitely an actress.
Yeah, I know that. So anyway, pour some out for Phil Donahue. Although, as JP mentions, 88. I mean, it's sad that we're all going to go, but we'd all take 88, I think. Matthew Perry, more details. This was kind of out last week, but... I think we touched on this. He told his assistant, Jason, shoot me up with a big one the day he died with the ketamine. In fact, I think he got three injections the day he died. Shocker. He got an injection at 8:30. I mean, you just think about this. 8:30, 12:45, and 1:30. Big surprise. He passed out in the hot tub and donked off.
Now, he must have been just a complete mess. So at 8:30, he wants his assistant to shoot him up, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then you said by 1 o'clock.
No, 12:45, he did another one.
1 o'clock, he did another one.
1:30, he did another one.
So he did
one. And then he went in the hot tub, passed out, and I think basically died from drowning.
Yeah.
That
put you to sleep.
I think when they looked at his innards, like he had heart disease, he had all kinds of stuff going on from probably.
I mean, what
years
do you do if you're the?
Abuse.
What do you do if you're the assistant?
Well, he was the assistant for like 25, 26
you say,
years. He's
Matthew,
probably been
no,
shooting
I can't.
Him up with drugs for 20 years, right?
I mean, you got to put a stop to it. You can't do it, Matthew. You can't do it. You're gonna die.
No.
Maybe you wanted to die.
No.
By the way, back to Phil Donahue, just because I got curious and I looked it up. So he was married and had five children with a previous wife. Then he got divorced. And a couple of years later, he has a guest on his show, Marlo Thomas. And he scooped her up.
Nice. That's how he met her.
That's how he met her on the show. That's what it says here.
Jason, you'll be into this because I know you had an interaction with Coldplay. We're all Coldplay fans here, right? I mean, I don't think they're the greatest band ever, but I like Coldplay. Their current rock tour is approaching $1 billion. It's right now the highest grossing rock tour of all time. It's ahead of Elton John. It's ahead of U2, Guns N' Roses, the Rolling Stones. It's got 21 more shows. It's made $945 million this tour. It's going to go well over a billion. Now, it still pales in comparison of Taylor's tour. She's got the pop tour that's done $2 billion in sales, which it will by the end of its run in December. But I had no idea that Coldplay was outperforming U2, Elton John, Guns N' Roses, Rolling Stone. I had no idea that that tour was that big.
Maybe 6 months ago that had Coldplay up there, in like the highest grossing ever. Tours. So it's like, you know, Bad Bunny's up there, Taylor Swift. Than like some of the old acts.
And my interaction with Coldplay was when I was in the van coming back from the concert.
Nutcracker
at George Mason at the Patriot Center.
Probably 2003 or 2004.
I mean, they were just kind of coming up. But I was in the van. Chris Martin was not in the van, but three of the other band members were taking us back to the hotel.
Right.
And I was whistling. I believe I was whistling Yellow.
Yeah, you weren't whistling. You were like whistling with your lips.
Right. Yeah. And I was annoying.
Did they comment?
And
I
was annoying the drummer and the bass player. And I can't remember their names. I think Johnny Buckland was one of them.
It looks like it was 2003.
We were on a bus or.
And
you know,
I could tell, and I was hammered.
You could tell they were annoyed.
I could tell they were annoyed.
Well, of course, because you were hammered.
I was annoying them.
We were on a bus going somewhere to one of these events with Papa Roach. Can you find this single? I'd like to play it this segment if you could. There's a single with Jacoby Shaddix and Carrie Underwood. It's going to blow your mind. I think it's going to blow your mind. But Papa Roach, very popular in the early 2000s, right? This is my last resort. You know that song.
Right.
Most people know that song. He was a known boozer.
Big time.
And I think he was telling everybody he was sober. Mm-hmm. He was pounding beers on the bus. Right. But nice, though. Super nice guy. Super nice guys in the band. He's got a great voice. You would have never guessed. You would just think he was just like a rap rock. Screamer,
right?
He's doing a collab with Carrie Underwood. If Valdez can find it, I don't think there's any cursing or anything in there, Valdez. Where they're like harmonizing and putting out a single. Like I'm blown away.
Really,
I'm blown away. And by the way, the video that they put out, Carrie Underwood's lips are all plumped up. All people are doing are joning on Carrie Underwood's
killing
lips.
Her.
By the way, Jason, I stand corrected. 2002.
Yeah.
Blind eyes turning from a world so cold, a million miles apart within my reach.
You gotta hear the chorus, but.
It's not like me to worry.
Did you think he could sing like that? I didn't.
With Jacoby Shaddix?
Yeah, I didn't think he could sing like that.
I saw him recently.
I didn't know he had pipes like that.
Right?
I saw him recently. And
right here, this is good.
With the band, and they look different. I mean, obviously, a lot older, but...
How old is he now? 50?
Isn't this good?
Yeah, it's really good.
48.
I can hear him and not Carrie Underwood.
Dude, he is singing his ass off.
Yeah, I did notice...
I would agree, that's good.
I think I saw him on TV. I can't remember exactly what it was, and it wasn't that with... And I was like, whoa, that's Papa Roach. Like, they had a different sound.
Dude, they're still grinding.
He sounds good.
Still going, yeah.
HFS... Nutcracker 2002.
Yeah.
Was Boxcar Racer. Coldplay,
that was the guy. That was Tom DeLonge's band.
Yes. Newfound Glory, Queens of Stone Age, The Distillers, The Vines, Zwan, and James Brown, who EB and Cakes introduced.
I'm telling you, God, one of the highlights of my career, introducing that dude.
That was a great concert, man.
That's when Jason got in a fight with a bunch of people.
Okay, we had the white rapper contest.
Well, they were throwing stuff at me.
Well, you were defending Cole because
I know it was my boy.
So I thought it was 2003. So
Cole's my man.
We'd probably only been with HFS for a couple months at that point.
Yeah,
for sure. A couple other quickies. Alien did $41.5 million. Alien Romulus. What did Kev give that?
Did not like it.
He didn't like it.
I think he gave it a 3.5.
Deadpool and Wolverine did 29. It Ends With Us, 24. Twisters. Can't believe that one's still out there.
That seems like
9.8.
Good week for the movies.
And then Coraline. I don't know what that is. Coraline, 8.6 million. There's your top five.
Can't tell you the last time I saw a movie in theaters, though.
Last but not least,
Deadpool. I bet you it was the Roadhouse 2. I'm calling it Roadhouse 2. It's just Roadhouse.
Yeah. I can't do an EP without giving a Ben Affleck update. He and Jen Garner, they took their kids together. I think they were in Japan.
They were vacationing together?
Blended family.
I thought I saw that. Yeah, that just like, I know they went and helped maybe one of the kids move into school. I think maybe Violet is going to be going to Yale. So they think they were in New Haven. But I think they were also overseas potentially. And there was a body language expert that looks at Jen Garner and sees how much affection she still has for Ben.
She's happy.
And Ben looks happier.
But is she remarried?
Yeah, I don't think there's any romance, but they say they're best friend exes.
Hmm.
There you go. Well, you know, when you're mutually raising kids, like sometimes it, you know, can work out. Sometimes it doesn't.
I saw some stupid headline. I don't even think I clicked on the story. It said something like J-Lo drinks straight out of the bottle during her Ben breakup or something like that.
Well, allegedly, that's why he had to get away from her, because she was going to ruin his sobriety.
But I thought she wasn't a drinker either.
Well, maybe she is now.
She did spots for
maybe she is now.
All right, coming up next, give you a chance to win some tickets to go see Jason Aldean at Jiffy Lube Live. You can call in now at 800-636-1067 for the morning matchup here on the Junkies. All right, we've got tickets to go see Jason Aldean on the line. We're going to give you a chance to win with a name that quarterback. We talked about this quarterback earlier. I will give you what he did in the preseason this weekend, and if you can name that quarterback, you'll win the tickets to go see Jason Aldean. Let's punch up our first contestant. Wow. If you want to try 800-636-1067. I'll give hints when we get our contestant.
Okay.
All right. Let's go to Sam. Hey, Sam.
What's up, boys?
What's up, buddy?
You'll win the tickets if you can name this NFC East quarterback who surprised people by completing 15 to 23 passes for 151 yards and a touchdown. He also ran for 34 yards and a touchdown this weekend.
Mm-hmm. Trey Lance.
Yes, it is Trey Lance. Trey Lance surprised people with his performance. You win two tickets to go see Jason Aldean, Highway Desperado Tour 2024, Friday, August 30th at Jiffy Lube Live. Tickets are on sale now. For tickets and more event info, visit thefandc.com/events.
All right, do you have more?
No, that's it.
That's it? One, all right,
one pair of tickets, we got a winner. All so, right. Drab came in here to the break and was talking about Tua being on the Dan Levitard show, and he had an interesting take on his current coach versus his former coach. His former coach is the embattled Brian Flores, who's sued the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
Whose staff is he on now?
He's on the Vikings, I believe.
Yeah, I think he's still on the Vikings.
Defensive coordinator.
But Brian Flores was the head coach of the Vikings. Of course, his whole lawsuit is he claims that the owner wanted them to lose games and like sabotaged them.
Mm-hmm. He might be right. Maybe. I wouldn't doubt it.
I mean, we know in the NBA teams tank.
Dude, I wouldn't doubt it.
And I'm sure in the NFL teams tank.
He's probably right.
Explain to us the difference in practical terms between having a coach who did believe in you the way that he did and the difference between that and what was happening with Flores.
Yeah. Well, to put it in simplest terms, if you woke up every morning and I told you you suck at what you did, that you don't belong doing what you do, that you shouldn't be here, that this guy should be here, that you haven't earned this right, and then you have somebody else come in and tell you, dude, you are the best fit for this. Like, you are accurate, you are the best whatever, you are this, you are that. Like, how would it make you feel listening to one or the other?
Who is that? That's Tua?
That's Tua. Saying that when Flores was there, he was just killing him and killing his confidence, told him he sucked.
Right.
Which kind of surprises me.
I mean,
it really does.
It's some tough love.
It's one way of coaching.
I'm trying to remember.
I assume that Dan Quinn's not saying that to Jaden Daniels.
Who were the other quarterbacks on the roster at the time?
With Tua?
With Flores. So you had Jacoby Brissett there. Is that right?
I'd have to go back and look at the depth of the roster, but maybe
Matt Moore still there?
Maybe no? Flores was saying this guy, maybe not someone that's necessarily on the roster, another quarterback on another team should be.
2021 rosters, it's Jacoby Brissett and Tua on the depth chart.
Uh-huh.
I'll check 2020.
That's surprising that he would, I mean, the head coach.
He would say you suck.
I mean, and who knows? Likes- it's coming for it's one guy's, you know, side of the story, but that would surprise me that the head coach was telling his quarterback, who was drafted fifth overall, that he doesn't belong there. He's not good enough to be a starter. That would surprise me.
But it also would surprise you if Tua would lie about that.
Yeah, I'm not saying he's lying. I it would just be surprising that a coach would say that.
Yeah, I don't understand.
Here's what's interesting. Now the narrative is out there. Now Brian Flores is a bad guy. Everyone's going to attack him all day. Nobody really knows. I mean, this is Tua's interpretation of it. There's no doubt you have players, coaches. You have tough coaches. Sounds like we all know Mike is an awesome players coach, and Flores was tough. That's the big difference.
Mike McDaniel.
Mike McDaniel. Yeah. I mean, super positive guy.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I mean, it's one side of the story, and maybe that was just the way he interpreted it, but it would surprise me if Brian Flores said, "You suck. You shouldn't."
You know what?
Now, after he throws a bad pick,
they do say that stuff.
And he comes off the field. Yeah, what are you doing, man? You suck.
I know coaches that do say that.
Yeah, some coaches are like that. But
in the heat of the moment,
it would surprise me if he continued to say that.
Maybe just Tua's a little too sensitive.
Might have been. I'm looking at, so Brian Flores coached the Dolphins for three seasons. He takes over in 2019.
He was there 19, 20, and 21.
2019,
right?
They go 5-11. He had Ryan Fitzpatrick as his quarterback.
Right.
So maybe when Tua gets there, it's not so much that you suck, it's that he had a veteran who ran his system in Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Yeah.
And then you've got a rookie coming in who probably just, it takes him a while. And he gave him that tough love. I don't know.
I think he played pretty well that rookie year. I'm going back to look at the numbers. He played in 9 games, and they were 6-3 in those 9 starts. He wasn't putting up great numbers, but 6-3 in the 9 starts, and then the following year wasn't very good, and I think he got hurt.
Well,
but Mike McDaniel is a totally different guy. I couldn't tell you how many times my daughters who were watching the game with me said, "Is that the coach?" I said, "Who, Mike McDaniel?" "Yeah, it's the coach." "Oh my God, he's so young. He looks like a math teacher."
Right.
And I said, "Yeah, that's the way he looks, but he's a pretty good coach, and he's been there for a couple of years."
Well, everybody says when he was here, first of all, he was chubbier.
When he was here on this staff,
and he was boozing and all that.
Yeah, he had some issues.
He had some stuff going on. But everybody says that he would have been the last guy you would have thought would be a super successful NFL head coach.
Mm-hmm.
With the way he was running around here and just, you know, it's kind of the intern guy.
Yeah.
But anyway, I don't know. I could see Flores saying you suck or something after a bad play. I could see that. But I doubt he was saying it to him every day.
Well, also, He's a defensive guy who's the head coach. You know, Tua's mostly dealing with a quarterback's coach and an offensive coordinator over the head coach anyway.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But I do remember now it seems like Tua's established, but there was a lot of question marks the first couple seasons about Tua.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. Size, and he had the concussion issue.
He had the hip, too. The hip injury in college coming in. But he's getting the last laugh.
But so far, EB, no questions about Jaden Daniels. Everything is glowing.
Well, he's going to struggle, but he's going to also be pretty good. I'm thrilled with our guy.
And I think there's no chance he takes a snap this week.
No.
Doesn't look like it.
Shut them down.
I would be shocked.
They need to just eliminate the regular season. Be like college.
I think eventually they will.
Do controlled scrimmages. You know what? 20 regular season games. Let's go.
I think it's coming.
All right, let's get out of here. Coming up next is our pals, B. Mitch and Finley, right here on The Fan. We've got tickets to go see Jason Aldean on the line. We're going to give you a chance to win with a name that quarterback. We talked about this quarterback earlier. I will give you what he did in the preseason this weekend, and if you can name that quarterback, you'll win the tickets to go see Jason Aldean. Let's punch up our first contestant. Wow. If you want to try 800-636-1067. I'll give hints when we get our contestant.
Okay.
All right, let's go to Sam. Hey, Sam.
What's up, boys?
Sam, you'll win the tickets if you can name this NFC East quarterback who surprised people by completing 15 to 23 passes for 151 yards and a touchdown. He also ran for 34 yards and a touchdown this weekend.
Mm-hmm. And Trey Lance.
Yes, it is Trey Lance. Trey Lance surprised people with his performance. You win two tickets to go see Jason Aldean, Highway Desperado Tour 2024, Friday, August 30th at Jiffy Lube Live. Tickets are on sale now. For tickets and more event info, visit thefandc.com/events.
All right, do you have more?
No, that's it.
That's it? One, all right,
one pair of tickets, we got a winner. All so, right. Drab came in here to the break and was talking about Tua being on the Dan Levitard show, and he had an interesting take on his current coach versus his former coach. His former coach is the embattled Brian Flores, who's sued the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
Whose staff is he on now?
He's on the Vikings, I believe.
Yeah, I think he's still on the Vikings.
Defensive coordinator.
But Brian Flores was the head coach of the Vikings. Of course, his whole lawsuit is he claims that the owner wanted them to lose games and like sabotaged them.
Mm-hmm. He might be right. Maybe. I wouldn't doubt it.
I mean, we know in the NBA teams tank.
Dude, I wouldn't doubt it.
I'm sure in the NFL teams tank.
He's probably right.
Explain to us the difference in practical terms between having a coach who did believe in you the way that he did and the difference between that and what was happening with Flores.
Yeah. Well, to put it in simplest terms, if you woke up every morning and I told you you suck at what you did, that you don't belong doing what you do, that you shouldn't be here, that this guy should be here, that you haven't earned this right, and then you have somebody else come in and tell you, dude, you are the best fit for this. Like, you are accurate, you are the best whatever, you are this, you are that. Like, how would it make you feel listening to one or the other?
Who is that? That's Tua?
That's Tua. Saying that when Flores was there, he was just killing him and killing his confidence, told him he sucked.
Right.
Which kind of surprises me.
I mean,
it really does.
That's some tough love.
It's one way of coaching.
I'm trying to remember.
I assume that Dan Quinn's not saying that to Jaden Daniels.
Who were the other quarterbacks on the roster at the time?
With Tua?
With Flores. So you had Jacoby Brissett there. Is that right?
I'd have to go back and look at the depth of the roster, but maybe
Matt Moore still there?
Maybe no? Flores was saying this guy, maybe not someone that's necessarily on the roster, another quarterback on another team should be.
2021 rosters, it's Jacoby Brissett and Tua on the depth chart.
Uh-huh.
I'll check 2020.
That's surprising that he would. I mean, the head coach
would say you suck.
I mean, and who knows? Liked... It's one guy's side of the story, but that would surprise me that the head coach was telling his quarterback, who was drafted fifth overall, that he doesn't belong there. He's not good enough to be a starter. That would surprise me.
But it also would surprise you if Tua would lie about that.
Yeah, I'm not saying he's lying. It would just be surprising that a coach would say that.
Yeah, I don't understand.
Here's what's interesting. Now the narrative is out there. Now Brian Flores is a bad guy. Everyone's going to attack him all day. Nobody really knows. I mean, this is Tua's interpretation of it. There's no doubt you have players' coaches. You have tough coaches. Sounds like we all know Mike is an awesome players' coach, and Flores was tough. That's the big difference.
Mike McDaniel.
Mike McDaniel. Yeah. I mean, super positive guy.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I mean, it's one side of the story, and maybe that was just the way he interpreted it, but... It would surprise me if Brian Flores said, "You suck. You shouldn't."
You know what?
Now, after he throws a bad pick,
they do say that stuff.
And he comes off the field. Yeah, what are you doing, man? You suck.
I know coaches that do say that.
Yeah, some coaches are like that. But
in the heat of the moment,
it would surprise me if he continued to say that.
Maybe just Tua's a little too sensitive.
Might have been. I'm looking at Brian Flores coached the Dolphins for three seasons. He takes over in 2019.
He was there 19, 20, and 21.
2019,
right?
They go 5-11. He had Ryan Fitzpatrick as his as mm-hmm. his quarterback.
Right.
So maybe when Tua gets there, it's not so much that you suck, it's that he had a veteran who ran his system in Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Yeah.
And then you've got a rookie coming in who probably just, it takes him a while. And he gave him that tough love. I don't know.
I think he played pretty well that rookie year. I'm going back to look at the numbers. He played in 9 games, and they were 6-3 in those 9 starts. He wasn't putting up great numbers, but 6-3 in the 9 starts, and then the following year wasn't very good, and I think he got hurt.
Well,
but Mike McDaniel's a totally different guy. I couldn't tell you how many times my daughters who were watching the game with me said, "Is that the coach?" I said, "Who, Mike McDaniel?" "Yeah, it's the coach." "Oh my God, he's so young. He looks like a math teacher."
Right.
And I said, "Yeah, that's the way he looks, but he's a pretty good coach, and he's been there for a couple of years."
Well, everybody says when he was here, first of all, he was chubbier when he was here.
When he was here on this staff,
and he was boozing and all that.
Yeah, he had some issues.
He had some stuff going on, but everybody says that he would have been the last guy you would have thought would be a super successful NFL head coach.
Mm-hmm.
With the way he was running around here and just, you know, it's kind of the intern guy.
Yeah.
But anyway, I don't know. I could see Flores saying you suck or something after a bad play. I could see that, but I doubt he was saying it to him every day.
Well, also, he's a defensive guy who's the head coach. You know, Tua's mostly dealing with a quarterback's coach and an offensive coordinator over the head coach anyway.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But I do remember now it seems like Tua's established, but there was a lot of question marks the first couple seasons about Tua.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, size, and he had the concussion issue.
Well, he had the hip, too. The hip injury in college coming in. But he's getting the last laugh.
But so far, he'd be no questions about Jaden Daniels. Everything is glowing.
Well, he's going to struggle, but he's going to also be pretty good. I'm thrilled with our guy.
And I think there's no chance he takes a snap this week.
No.
Doesn't look like it.
Shut them down.
I would be shocked.
They need to just eliminate the regular season. Be like college.
I think eventually they will.
Do controlled scrimmages. You know what? 20 regular season games. Let's go.
I think it's coming.
All right, let's get out of here. Coming up next is our pals, B. Mitch and Finley, right here on The Fan.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.